for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday evening, November the 24th, 2000. Thanksgiving weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Robert Cameron of Virginia Beach, Virginia, from Scotland, is the speaker of the evening.
I want to speak on keeping your vision fresh. Keeping your vision fresh is very important. And praise God. Now, the Bible says, let him that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. That presupposes you can have an ear and not hear. So let's have an ear to hear tonight. If you've got a pen and paper, I want you to take notes, because I found out that if you take notes, it's a lot easier to remember what I say, because even though you never looked at a note again, there's just someone putting it down on paper. And, you know, I believe it. When we come together, I don't know if you notice me, but I've always got my notepad with me, because, you know, you could miss one line of a message, it's going to change your life. And I don't want to miss anything. I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss anything. It's good to see Pastor Billy Glidewell here tonight. Amen, Billy. Looking forward to Sunday night. And I don't know, but did you notice him and Glenn Miller? They're like string beans. It must be the water down here. I need to come down to the water to drink some water down here. I don't know what it is, but they're not really scriptural, but because the Bible says the diligent soul shall be made fat. So I'm the one going with the Bible. Hear me. Yeah.
Amen.
You have a long way to go, David. Keep going. Praise God. I've twins that are 22. Just to introduce myself a little bit. Anybody here, this is the first time you've been in service with me? Where you been? Seems I've been around for donkeys since the Korean War. And I've twins that are 22. They both got married this year. And one of them gave me a grandchild 6 weeks ago. So I'm an old granddad, thus a gray hair. I can, you know, I'm still not dreaming dreams, though. Did you notice Wade said he had dreams this morning? That shows his age. I'm still seeing visions. Figure that one out if you know your Bible. And I have a boy 17 and a girl 15 going on 21, if you know what I mean. And my wife, Margaret, I've been married to Margaret for 25 years, and she deserves a medal. Praise God. Hallelujah. I stamped my boy, my 22-year-old boy. Both of my boys are like string beans. I used to be like a string bean, believe that or not. When I was in school, I was so skinny, they had to tie knots in my legs so I could have knees. And I was real thin, it's hard to believe, but that's a long time ago since I was in school. So I was telling my boy the other day, my married boy, I said, you'd only be married a year, and look at you, I says, you're putting weight on already. I said, you're getting like your dad. So he didn't like that. Praise God. I picked up this funny story. Remember I told you this morning I'm fundamental?
Yeah.
With the fun, or emphasis on the fun and not demental. So we're going to have fun tonight. Is that all right?
Yeah.
But you can be serious without being sad. I know Ronnie doesn't like to be serious, but or happy. But I mean, that's not me. I'm going to be happy tonight. So I picked up this funny few things on marriage views. And I'm going to read them to you. Marriage views. Remember, marriage is the number one cause of divorce. I married Miss Wright. I just didn't know her first name was Always. Think of this now. Marriage is a three-ring circus. The engagement ring, the wedding ring, and the supper ring. The last fight was my fault. My wife asked, what's on TV? I said, dust. Dust. In the beginning, God created earth and rested. Then God created man and rested. Then God created woman. And since then, neither God nor man has rested. Why do men die before their wives? They want to. Do you know the punishment for bigamy? Two mother-in-laws. Young son to father. Is it true, Dad? I heard that in some parts of Africa, a man doesn't know his wife until he marries her. Dad to son. Son, that happens in every country. A man inserted an ad in the classified, wife wanted. The next day he received 100 letters. They all said the same thing. You can have mine. I know, I love women. Girls, don't get upset. I'm just reading this for you. I'll give you a laugh. The most effective way to remember your wife's birthday is to forget it once. All the men said amen. First guy, proudly, my wife's an angel. Second guy, you're lucky, mine's still living. How do most men define marriage? A very expensive way to get your laundry done for free. Just think, if it weren't for marriage, men would go through life thinking they had no faults at all. Then there was a man who said, I never knew what real happiness was until I got married. And by then it was too late. No. Do you see stupid written across my forehead? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. I'll be reading on the NIV. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. And one night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. And Samuel called, then the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel answered, Here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, Here I am, you called me. But Eli said, I did not call, go back and lie down. So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, Here I am, you called me. My son Eli said, I did not call, go back and lie down. The old Eli was getting upset because he couldn't get his beauty rest. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, for the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Then the Lord called Samuel a third time. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, Here I am, you called me. Then Eli realized that God was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there calling us at other times, Samuel, Samuel. How many know two is the number of witness? I mean, it's God confirming things. And then Samuel said, Speak, for your servant is listening. The text tonight in verse 2. One night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. He was lying down in his usual place. His usual place. Have you ever read the Bible and all you've read is words? Let's be honest about it. We read the Bible every day, right? And sometimes you read it out of good discipline, and you read through the begets, you know, and you just carry on there, and you just pass it over, and you do a 2-3 chapters, you lay it down, you think, well, I didn't get much from that today, but just every other time, you just something flashes out the pages to you, and inspiration hits you. And one day I was reading this just 2-3 weeks ago, and it just jumped out. And Eli went to his usual place. His usual place. Now, I've preached on this sermon and this text several different times in several different ways, but I've never seen it like this. He went to his usual place. How many of us are guilty of going to the usual place? Singing the usual songs. Listening to the usual messages. Giving the usual offerings. We can talk now because the offerings are taken up. For tonight, that is. Expecting the usual blessing, expecting the usual result from the sermon, going home the usual way, sitting in the usual seat, parking in the usual parking place, and we wonder why the world's going to hell in a handbasket. It's time to get out of the usual place. Amen. He went to the usual place, keeping your vision fresh.
That's right.
Keeping your vision fresh. You see, I believe every business and every church should have a vision statement. In fact, every business, every big prominent business, IBM, Microsoft, they all have vision statements and mission statements. I don't know if you, how many has been to McDonald's recently? Well, their mission, their vision statement used to be to get you in and out in 93 seconds. That's a laugh. How many have been to McDonald's? None of you have been to McDonald's recently, my goodness. Well, anyway, I don't go to McDonald's that often because I like to eat in better restaurants than McDonald's. I've got a taste for finer foods. I go to Burger King. But every Saturday morning, my wife and I go for breakfast down at the beach. But this, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was on my way to New York to go to New York, and I didn't have time. So my wife said, "Look, just run down to McDonald's, only around the corner from the house, and get a couple of Egg McMuffins, and we'll have breakfast in the house." So I went. Yeah, I'll be right back, honey. 20 minutes I stood. to get two egg McMuffins. In other words, their vision statement wasn't working. But you need to have a vision statement, and you need to make sure your vision statement is working. Our vision statement in Virginia Beach Christian Life Center is loving God, loving life, loving people, changing their world one life at a time. Have a vision. Have a vision. In first one, it says there were not many visions. Visions were rare. But how many know tonight it wasn't because God wasn't speaking? It was because man wasn't listening. Because the Bible says since the beginning of time, God has spoken to his prophets, to his people. God's always speaking.
Amen.
But the trouble with us is, we speak, somebody said it, I don't know who it was who said it, that we speak more than we listen.
Amen.
The wise old owl sat up in an oak. The more he saw, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. Why can't we be like that wise old bird? Always remember, you've got twice as many ears as you have mouths. But so we get so busy sometimes talking, we're not listening. It was a bunch last night, we started waiting on the Lord. We need to listen. It wasn't that God wasn't speaking. It was Eli, the point man, the contact person in the temple, was so busy and so familiar with the things of God, he wasn't listening. He wasn't tuned in.
Amen.
Thank you for that underwhelming response.
I can relate to that.
See, I really don't care if you respond or not, because it's the truth.
Amen.
But you know, sometimes people get engrossed in the message and they forget to say amen and encourage you a little bit. That way you get home quicker. If you encourage me too much, you'll be here till midnight, is going to. It reminds me of a story I heard about this little beggar boy was in India, and this atheist tourist was walking around the city, and he met this little beggar boy giving out gospel tracts. So he looked at him and he said, "Son, do you believe in Jesus?" "Oh, yes, I do, sir." He says, "Do you believe that Jesus is a good Jesus?" He says, "Oh, yes, I do, sir." So the atheist said, "Well, if Jesus is a good Jesus, why doesn't he talk to someone to feed and clothe you so you don't have to beg?" And the little boy looked up to the atheist and said, "It isn't that he hasn't talked. They haven't listened."
Amen.
How many times he that gives to the poor lends to the Lord. How many have seen the people with cardboard signs will work for food?
Yeah.
You ever see them?
Yeah.
I've never seen a skinny one. I don't know if you noticed that, but I've never seen an emaciated, skinny person with a board of sign.
I've never seen them at 7 o'clock in the morning when you're looking for
them. That's right. And, I've seen them with several bags running about them, and somebody's brought them from Burger King, McDonald's, and they're still there. They haven't eaten them yet because they're full. But the truth is, a lot of times it's a sham. But then there are sometimes you don't know. But how many times have you been passing them and the Holy Spirit said to you, just give them something. And then a few quick seconds later, the natural mind comes back and says, don't be stupid. It's a sham. I'm going to tell you something. We need to learn to hear the voice of the Lord. But there are times when I've passed by them and the Holy Spirit hasn't spoken to me. But there are times when the Holy Spirit has spoken. And after a few errors, hiccups, I've learned to do what he wants me to do. And I've learned to go and just give them something. Because you're not giving it to them, you're giving it to God.
Yeah.
People always worry, well, what are they going to do with the money? What's Glenn Miller going to do with all the money we give? It's none of your business. What you give it to the Lord.
Yeah.
And what Glenn does with it, that's between him and God. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
I always tell people, you give me money, you give it to me, you'll never get it back. You give it to God, and he'll always give it back. You press down, shaking together, and running on. So listen, have an ear to hear.
Amen.
The trouble is we don't have an ear to hear.
Amen.
Remember in Mark 8, Jesus said to the disciples, beware of the leaven of the yeast of the Pharisees. And the disciples got all out of joint. What he was talking about? He just fed 4,000 people. And they're wondering about, and they've gone across the water now, and they forgot the bread. They've got one loaf between the 13 of them. I call them the Marvelettes. Jesus and the Marvelettes. Because he always marveled at what he did.
Yeah.
He's all through. They marveled. So there were 12 Marvelettes. They're always marveling. Because they have no faith. Faith is not surprised at miracles, it expects them. You don't marvel when it's faith. You just think, I pray for it. They're going to get healed. Oh, praise God. I knew they would. But us, with little faith, we marvel.
Yeah.
It's like the young preacher starting out in the healing ministry. He's gone in his ministry for 4 weeks, and he's praying for people one night, for a whole row of people. He's praying for people, and they're getting prayed for. And he comes up with the fourth or fifth lady down the line, and he lays hands on his, and she shouts, "I'm healed!" He jumps back and says, "You're kidding." Marvel it! So, they're worried about this, and Jesus says, "Well, fellas, you don't know what I'm all about yet. You're hanging with me, but you're not catching it. You're not getting what I'm all about." And he says to them, now listen, he's not talking to the Pharisees or the Sadducees. He's talking to the Kudnesses. He's talking to Marvelettes. He says, "Having eyes to see, you see not. And having ears to hear, you hear not." He's not talking to the sinner in the street. He's talking to the inner circle. He's talking to the 12 elders. He's talking to the guys in the inner. And he's got the ear. He's got his ear. They still couldn't see it. You need to have an eye to see. Get your vision fresh. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people." Now, how many know that word "peculiar" doesn't mean we're a bunch of oddballs? That doesn't mean we're a bunch of flakes. No, there are flakes in the church. There may be a few here tonight, I don't know. Well, I think I do know. There are some flakes here tonight. But how many know they were flaky before they came into the service? The church didn't make people flaky. Amen. They were flaky before they came in.
Amen.
And if they don't get delivered, they'll be flaky when they go out.
Amen.
They're flakes all the time. I've run into many of them. And they're way in la-la land. And they think they're super spiritual, but the truth is they're off there somewhere in the blue beyond, where no one has dared to go before. We had a prayer meeting in our we have a Sunday night service in our church from 6 to 7:30, and then we have a ministry meeting from 7:30 to 8:15, where people come up and get ministered to. So I was there one night, and we're praying for people, and this so happens this particular night it was addictions. That was sometimes we have themes, you know, and this particular night it was addictions, you know, smoking, drinking, smoking or drinking. So this guy comes out to get prayed for, and he said to me, "Pastor," he said, "I want to get prayed for, but don't pray for my addiction." I said, "Oh, what's that?" He says, "Well, I smoke." He said, "But I don't want to stop smoking." He said, "But I've got pains in my knees." And he said, "I want to get healed with the pains in my knees." And I thought to myself, no, there's a flake for you. A1 flake. Never mind the thing that's going to put nails in his coffin. All he wants is the pain out of his knees, you know. I must admit to you, I prayed for him, but I didn't have much faith for him, you know, because I thought, he's an idiot. How dumb can you be and still breathe? You know, don't deliver me from smoking. Just pray for my knees. I was praying for a guy one night, another flake. And he said to me, "Pastor," he says, I want to get delivered from smoking." I said, "Okay, Francie." I said, "I'll tell you what I'll do, and I'll just agree with you. I want you to pray, and I'll agree with you, and you do it, right?" He says, "Yeah, okay." So he starts praying, "Lord, take this, thy smoking, away from me." Right. I'll pray myself the next time. Yeah. So that word "peculiar" doesn't mean you're flaky or you're nutty. I'll tell you what it means. You're unusual. And we're tuned in to an unusual source. In other words, when all everything's against us, when there's no reason to laugh or to cut up, or there's no reason to be happy, there's a smile on our face because we're tuned in to another source. When the Dow is going down, like it's been going down this last week, and all you guys that have mutual funds and stocks and bonds, don't worry, hang on, it'll be come up again as once we get a president. I think. I hope, anyway. Praise God. But, you know, you don't worry about that because it doesn't matter who's in or who's out or what the Dow does or what the Nasdaq does. God is in control. God's got the world in the palm of his hand, and we are an unusual people tuned into an unusual source of information.
Amen.
Never mind what the world says. They don't see like we see. They don't hear like we hear. Amen? Vision. Someone has said that a vision not ventured becomes a dream. Ever had visions when you were younger of what you were going to do, you know? And then when you get older, 40 years down the line, you look back and say, "Well, I never did that." And all becomes just a dream to you anymore, yeah. When you were younger, "I want to be Superman." "I want to be a fire engine driver." And then you look back and it's a dream. Well, God's not looking for dreamers.
Come on now.
He's looking for visionaries.
That's right.
is looking for men and women that have vision. Men and women that can look and see what God is doing and feel what God is doing and speak what God is saying. Can I hear an amen? Someone has said that a person without a vision will always revisit the past. A person without a vision will always revisit the past. You ever met older people? My mother, bless her heart, Maggie, she's 87 years old. Back in Scotland, my dad passed away last year. She's left herself. Well, my brother, my older brother, kind of looks after her. And he looks after her night and day, as a matter of fact. He looks after her very well. But Maggie is 87 years old. My mother has a photogenic memory. She remembers everything she's ever done. She can remember being here many times and tell you everything about Arkansas and where she's ever been. I mean, it's just embarrassing me when I go to see her, because she'll start saying to me, you remember, you know, and I'll say, oh, I can't remember that. Then she'll start telling the story and I remember it well. My mother is 87, doesn't need glasses to read. I mean, it's not fair, is it? I hate glasses because I always leave them. If you ever gone into a restaurant and you've left your glasses and you can't read the menu, that is frustrating. Because I do not trust anybody else to order something for me. But my mother is 87. My father's gone on, and she's lost her vision. My mother will always say to you, remember when. Remember when. Remember when. A person without a vision will always revisit the past. Remember in Ezra chapter 3, verse 12? When they came to the foundation of the new temple, the Bible says the old priest wept, while the young men shouted for joy. See, the old priests were looking at the old at the new foundation, dreaming of the old temple, the old way, the way we did it back then. And they were thinking, it'll never be the same again. They were right. It was going to be better. It's going to be greater. It's going to be bigger. It's going to be grander. Because God said, Haggai, the glory of this house will be greater than that of the former. Can I hear an amen? Stop your dreaming. Get your vision back. Remember John 21? Seven disciples are sitting together and Jesus will be crucified and appear to them, but everything was in a state of flux. Their feet was in a state of flux and they just weren't sure what was happening. And Peter said to the disciples, he lost his vision. He said, I'm going fishing. And when you read it, you can read the pathos. You know, you read the pathos in the line there. Because, you know, we communicate three different ways. You communicate with word, gesture, and spirit. And you can read our line, and you can read the line, but if you read the spirit of the line, you can just see Peter saying, I'm going fishing. Going right back to where he came from. Right back to where Jesus had taken him from, he was going back. I'm going fishing. But you know the sad thing is? The six other disciples said to him, we'll come with you. You see, when you lose your vision, you don't only affect yourself, you affect other people. I've said this before, but I'll say it again. Listen, you think you're not influential. You people, if you took a notepad out and started writing down people that you have influence over, you would be shocked. You would be surprised. Listen, mothers, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. You fathers, and you think you're not influential. You think you're businessmen. Imagine if I lost my vision. How many people would be devastated if the word came? And Robert's disappeared, and he's lost his vision for the ministry. I was listening to James Dobson the other week, and the fellow that knows everything about marriages. That's a joke. And he was saying that 1,500 preachers a month fall. 1,500 preachers a month fall into either immorality or financial doom. You know why that is? They lose their vision. If you lose your vision, somehow or other, you lose your flight. You lose your flight path. You lose your focus. Thank you. Thank you, Ronnie. Good jokes. Because vision, the Bible says in Proverbs 19, you'll be expecting half the love offering, I suppose, as well.
Later.
You're dreaming. You know, it's just a little something going on between us up here. It's a preacher's thing, you know. Just. If you lose your vision, you lose your way. See, the Proverbs 19 says, without a vision, the people cast off... Well, that's your rendition. But the people cast off restraint in the NIV. He's still in the King Jimmy. And the NIV says, where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. So these preachers, they lost their vision. They cast off the restraints. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's none of us above that. Don't look at these guys and say, oh, it's absolutely disgusting and disgraceful. There's none of us above that.
Come on,
except we must keep our eyes on Jesus and keep our vision clear and focused. Where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. Therefore, we can say, where there is vision, there is boundaries. Where there is vision, there is boundary. There are boundaries. Vision will give you boundaries with your children. Have you ever gone through the mall and you've seen just little brats, holy brats, just tearing the walls down and, you know, just kicking the things and pulling clothes off the hangers? And that tells me something about their parents.
Absolutely.
Children that come into church and they just run wild and run amok, it tells me something about the vision their parents have for their lives. Many years ago, when my children were little, I was in Scotland and I was going into a little baby shop one day, and this little boy is over 3 years old. We'll call him Johnny because I don't know what his real name was, but Johnny will do fine. And Johnny was taking the walls down. It might be a good set of lungs Johnny had. And I'm walking past, and his mother's bending down, and she was one of those Dr. Spock mothers, you know? How many know what a Dr. Spock mother is? And she's down there, and she's saying, Johnny, let's talk about it. Now, this is absolutely true. And that's all in seconds, and I catch this. And as I'm walking past, the hair on the back of my head, I had more of it then. The hair was standing up at the back of my neck, you know. Let's talk about it. I thought to myself, Johnny doesn't need to be talked about it. Johnny needs to get the fivefold ministry in the seat of learning. Now, for you Dr. Spock mothers, just that's it. That's how I believe. Tough. Let's live with it. My father had a philosophy in my house. And this is what he said to me, Robert. There's two ways we're going to get that rebellion out of you. We're either going to pray it out or we're going to beat it out. But we're going to get it out. Thank God he prayed it out. I wasn't sure. But you know, we need to realize it with God. You take the rod off the child and you're going to ruin him. I'm not talking about abusing kids now. I'm talking about being firm and being correct and give them parameters. It gives kids direction. It'll give you boundaries on how you spend your money. Vision will give you boundaries with your money. It'll teach you how to vision will allow you to spend your money wisely or save it wisely. Someone has said, if you want to know how spiritual you are, take a look at your check stubs and see how much you give to God and how much you keep to yourself. That's a good checklist right there, isn't it? If the vision tarry, wait for it. For it will surely come to pass. How many has ever had visions and God has spoken to you, and by the time you say amen to that, what God has said, there it is, could be a long, tumultuous, hard time. I believe it, Lord, and it seems like forever. It's never coming to pass. That's all right. If God said it, that settles it.
Amen.
I believe it. Remember Joseph? Four words changed that young boy's life. Joseph had a dream. Nearly killed him. Joseph was a special child. He wore the best duds. He dressed fancy, stayed at home and cooked dinner with his mother, while the rest of the boys were out looking after the sheep. He was a special kid. He was a mama's kid. But Joseph had an ear to God. And one day, his father said, Jacob said, Joseph, go and see how your brothers are doing there, looking after the sheep. Take some provisions for them and bring me back a report. So off he goes. He was also obedient, because he went, right? Took the refurbishments, and off he went. And the Bible says these brothers hated him. That's a strong word, isn't it? These brothers hated him, and when they saw him afar off, they said, let's kill him. And to add insult to injury, when Joseph arrived, he's all excited. What's wrong, Joe? Oh, he says, something happened to me last night. I can't even tell you about it. It's so exciting. Well, what is it? Well, just try and tell us. Well, I had a dream. Oh, and what was in the dream? Well, I can hardly tell you. So excited. Well, try and tell us, Joe. Well, I'll tell you, the bottom line is this. In my dream, you all bowed down to me and I ruled over you. Is that a fact, Joe? And down the hole he goes. I didn't say down the Holy Ghost. I said down the Holy Ghost. And they would have killed him, except for two reasons. One, God had a destiny on his life. It wasn't a supernatural dream. It was a supernatural dream. Number two, there were Jews. They sold them rather than... Reuben, the good old Jew, no, let's not kill him, let's sell him. If you're Jewish, then I don't take offense, because, you know, I'm only saying that in fun, because they say the Scottish people are as tight as Jews. I don't know, the problem is. But you see, it took 14 years until Joseph came to where God wanted him to be. It took Moses 40 years for God to get him to where he wanted him to be. So what I'm saying is, if you've got a vision, don't hang up, hang on. If you've got a vision to see your churches full, don't hang up, hang on. If you have a vision to see your family saved, don't hang up, hang on. Keep going. If the vision, Daddy, wait for it. Because I'll tell you what happened. When the fullness of time comes, one morning Joseph wakes up, he's a prisoner. That same night he goes to bed, he's a prime minister. Because when God does something, he does it quick. Sometimes it seems like a long way until God says, okay, it's time. That brother's going to get saved. That wife's going to get saved. That son's going to get saved. That daughter's going to get saved. That husband's going to get saved. That grandmother's going to get saved. That father's going to get saved.
Come on.
And out the hound of heaven goes and puts a hook in their jaw. Brings them into the kingdom.
Yeah.
A vision tarry, wait for it. 14 years it took. By the time he got his vision to the time he got to the palace. That's all right. Vision will drive us to new heights. Vision will cause us to attempt great things for God. Vision will cause us to expect great things from God.
Amen.
Vision will cause us to attempt great things for God. Vision will cause us to expect great things from God. Fresh. I'm going to give you four reasons that lack of vision is going to bring. Four things lack of vision will bring. Number one, complacency. He went to the usual place.
Yes, sir.
Same old, the same old. Day in, day out. Now, complacency, there's no expectancy.
Right.
And if there's no expectancy, you get nothing. If you don't expect, you don't get. I believe, the truth of the matter is, I believe complacency should be a cuss word in the kingdom of God. Complacency and mediocrity should not be mentioned in the kingdom of God. I remember I was coming out to service one day in Virginia Beach a while back, and I came into a restaurant, and I noticed a lady that I knew, and I were kind of fired up after the service, and I'm saying, hey, honey, how you doing? How's your vision? And she says, well, I'm just waiting for Jesus to come back. And I just said, well, that's a bit selfish, isn't it? She said, we swallowed her false teeth. And she says, what do you mean? I said, well, that's a selfish, you're waiting for Jesus to come back. I've never had such a selfish vision all my life. What do you mean, Pastor Cameron? I said, well, that's not what the Bible teaches. You're never told to sit and wait to hold the fort. I said, the Bible says you occupy till he comes. I said, I know Jesus is coming back, and I don't know how long it'll be. It might be long enough. It might be in my lifetime. It might not be in my lifetime. And I've got news for you tonight. It might not be in your lifetime. I don't care what people say or what they preach. The truth is, we just don't know. But the truth is this. While we're waiting, we're going to do something about it, and we're going to occupy till he comes.
Amen.
Don't get complacent about it. Get determined about it. Amen? Get determined about it. Complacency produces nothing. Remember Matthew 28? We get the 5-2-1 principle. The master gives the 5 talents, the 2 talents, the 1 talent. The guy that had the 1 talent takes it and buries it. When the master comes back, he said, oh, what do you do with my talent? He said, well, I was kind of afraid of you. I didn't know what you were doing. I hid it. I've done nothing with it, to tell you the truth. And he took it from him and gave it to another. Why? Because the master expects production. How many of the kingdom of God has got to produce? God doesn't want you and I sitting like a lump in a log, week in, week out, sitting on a pew, filling a pew and doing nothing. Because John 15 says, every branch that beareth not fruit, he takes away. And now he casts off, the original means it, he casts it off. The kingdom of God has got to produce.
Come on.
Doesn't want us sitting like a bump in a log till Jesus comes. He wants us to be productive. He wants us to help expand the kingdom. Complacency will put you in a rut.
Yeah.
And the only difference between a rut and a grave is a matter of depth.
Come on, brother.
I was in Alaska one time with my dad, and there was a sign in Alaskan Highway that said, pick your rut carefully. You'll be in it for the next 500 miles. But it's true, if you get in a rut, you know. I mean, I know people that they get in a rut saying, praise the Lord. There's some people just sit and say, praise the Lord, praise God, and it's mechanical.
That's right.
I've had it here. Yeah. Just totally mechanical. Praise God, praise, and just say praise God the wrong time. You know? Because, you know, well, you talk about my aunt died. Praise God, you know. Because they're so mechanical with it. They're not paying attention. They're just going through, they're just doing it, you know, just out of habit. My mother-in-law just died. Praise God. My cat fell off the roof. Praise God. Somebody stole the offering. Praise God. Don't praise God. Get after them. You enjoying this tonight?
Yes.
Number two, lack of intimacy. It'll bring complacency. Number two, it'll bring lack of intimacy. The Bible says that Eli went to his usual place while Samuel lay down in the temple of the Lord by the ark of God. I'd never seen like this before. Eli's usual place wasn't beside the ark. Now, in the old days, the Old Testament, the ark of God signified the presence, the protection, the provision, and the power of God. It was very important in those days. Now, today, you can use it for a coal bunker. Because it has doesn't have any significance today, because we have a new covenant based on better promises, and Jesus is the head of that covenant, amen? We don't have to look at an ark, we worship the king. But in those days, it was very, very important. And the Bible says that Eli went to his usual place, while Samuel lay down in the temple of the Lord, Glenn, by the ark of God.
Amen. That's good,
lack of intimacy. So many times, folks, you and I can get so taken up with the work of the Lord. We can lose sight of the Lord of the work. God, oh listen, God wants you to work. But I'm going to tell you something. God's not just looking for workers. God is looking for lovers. Can I hear an amen? He's looking for more than a servant. He hasn't made us servants, Butch. He said, I call you friends.
That's right, brother.
He calls us friends. We're not servants just. We are servants, but we're friends.
Amen.
He wants to communicate with us.
Amen.
I had a friend who's a big church, has a big church. And he started off with a small congregation with 50 people out in the Midwest. And every morning he went up at 7 o'clock and go out and pray for an hour out on a little hill just outside of town. Came back in and the church began to grow at 200, 300, 400 every morning, go out an hour, pray. 500, 600, cut it down to half an hour every morning, out for half an hour, back to church, doing the mechanics of it, getting the work of the Lord done. Finally, he stopped going out at all. Church grew to over 1,000 people. He's driving on the highway one day in his brand new Cadillac. And there's nothing wrong with driving a Cadillac, by the way. I can drive a Cadillac. I don't have a Cadillac, but I could drive. If I wanted one, I could have one. But it's just our priorities. I'm not old enough for a Cadillac. That's right. I was looking at a Lincoln one day. My wife said, you're not old enough for a Lincoln.
That's right.
But Butch is. And Ronnie Bajux is. I'm still seeing visions. I don't know about you guys. I think, man, I'm a grandfather now, so I'll be coming into dreams shortly. But he was driving on the car, and the Holy Spirit arrested him on the way down to the office. And he said, where have you been? I've missed you. I've missed you. I'm going to tell you, folks, there's times when God says to us, where have you been? Come, let us reason together.
Come on, man.
Isaiah 1:18. Come, let us reason together. Sometimes you get so busy, Sandy, that Jesus misses us. We get so busy doing the work. Oh, we're doing the mechanics of it. People are getting saved. People are getting healed. But we're losing that intimacy. Intimacy. Remember in Genesis, it said Enoch, in Genesis 5, Enoch walked with God. The word walk there is the Hebrew word halak. It means that he walked shoulder to shoulder. He didn't run ahead of him. He didn't drag behind him. He walked with him, and he talked with him. What that old song said, he walks with me, and he talks with me. God doesn't want you running ahead of him, because he's got everything under control. He doesn't need your hurry. We're always in a hurry and never in time. He's never in a hurry and always in time. He doesn't want you dragging behind him. He wants you walking shoulder to shoulder, so we can commune, so we can talk, so we can listen, we can observe, and we can just flow with the Holy Spirit. Can I hear an amen? Lack of sensitivity, lack of intimacy, lack of sensitivity, number three, lack of sensitivity. Samuel runs to Eli, and for three times before the penny dropped, Samuel, you called me, and Eli said, no, I didn't call you. Lie down, go back and lie down again. Mm-hmm. Three times before the penny dropped. Duh. I wonder what duh means. Anybody got young kids? Speak to the hand. You know that one, Mildred? We have that one? You haven't seen? Speak to the hand.
Yeah.
I don't know where they get it. They get it from the TV, I think. But my daughter, 15, going on 21. And one of her favorite words is duh. No, I don't think it's a good word. I don't think it means, you know, great dad. You know, I don't think duh means dynamic. I think it means dork.
It does.
Oops. Duh. And that's all I can say about Eli. Thank you, Butch. Everybody say Butch. That's the proper way to say it. My best friend is called Butch. My neighbor is Butch. I mean, we go about together a lot. But that's Eli. Three times before the penny dropped, duh, you dork. But you see, when you're not in where God wants you to be and you've lost your vision, you lose your sensitivity. You lose your sensitivity. You're not as sharp anymore. You say wrong things. Maybe you sing the wrong song and you just lose your sensitivity. God speaks to you, you don't understand it. You know that God had to bring a young 12-year-old boy, had to speak to a young 12-year-old boy, because the man he should have heard wasn't hearing. And because he wasn't hearing, he got insensitive to God. He's allowing his boys to sin. Horrendous sins at the door of the temple. Sexual sins that Glenn was talking about today, that meant sudden death. It meant sure death. And yet God got the ear of a young 12-year-old boy. And that young 12-year-old boy heard from God and changed the destiny of a nation.
Amen.
The Bible says that Samuel was revered from Dan to Beersheba. He was revered from the north to the south. When Samuel spoke, it happened. He was the mouthpiece, he was the oracle of God. And when he said you died, you died. No ands, ifs, or buts about it. What's the case? Is that your final answer? When he said you died, you died. When he said you lived, you lived. When he came along with his horn of oil, his shofar of oil, he stuck it over your head and that wax seal broke and the oil cascaded, you were king. 1 Samuel 15.
Amen.
Lack of insensitivity. Lack of sensitivity. Let him that has an ear to hear. In Leviticus 21, we see different reasons how you could not be a priest. Different reasons how you could not be a priest. And one of them was you couldn't be a priest if you had a broken nose. Because you couldn't smell the incense that the apothecary had made for the innermost holies. But otherwise it meant you were insensitive. Can't smell it. Because you see, nobody was allowed to use that perfume, that odor, that incense, except the high priest and the priests that were in it were permeated with it. So when they walked down the road, the people could say, they've been in the presence of God. They've been in the presence of God. It's great, isn't it? I wonder if we walked out of here tonight, we met people and say, those people have been in the presence of God. Those people have been in the presence of God. That's a thought. That's another sermon right there. Those would be in the presence of God. But anyway, they couldn't be a priest if you had a broken nose because you couldn't smell that. How many times are we like that sitting in a service? When's he going to stop? It's 9 o'clock and the restaurants will be closed at 10 in town. And when's he going to stop? I am. I'm doing my best. Broken nose syndrome, insensitivity. Oh, I hope he's not going to preach on the Sunday morning. If he doesn't hurry up, the roast will be burned. Just total insensitivity. People are getting saved, people are getting healed. All they're worried about is their gut.
Yeah.
It's true, it's funny, but I mean, it's true, isn't it? Hey, listen, we're all guilty of different things. Number four, it'll bring calamity. The Bible says in verse 12 that Eli's house will be judged forever. Be judged forever. Calamity brings chaos. Judgment, it brings chaos. Remember the movie Titanic? How many seen the movie Titanic? So you go to movies, do you? So do I, so don't sweat it. My wife wanted me to go and see Titanic, you know, but I said, honey, I hate to go and see a movie that I know the end, because I know for a fact the boat sank. But as wives do, she persuaded me. Because only a wife could do. So I went to see it. How many know God goes to movies as well? How many know God goes to movies? Oh, it certainly does. It goes with me too. In fact, I've several people in my church been saved in the movies. So he must have been there. Okay, I'll carry on. You don't like that one. You'll maybe release that one to you in a later date. But anyway, in that movie, the story of Titanic, do you realize that on that fateful night, that ship didn't have to sink?
Amen. That's right.
On that night, the wireless operator got six different messages telling him there were icebergs in the area. And because of his lack of vision, Butch, because of his lack of vision, he took that message. He didn't want to waken the captain, so he took them and put them on a hook. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And because of his lack of vision, hundreds perished on that fateful night. See, it's important, folks, that you don't lose your vision. Because if we lose our vision, we're going to affect other people. What about Numbers 13? When Moses sends out the 12 spies. 12 spies go out. 2 had vision. 10 had no vision. 2 had vision. 10 had no vision. And as human nature is wont to do, they went with a majority. They went with a majority. And the Bible says, God says to Moses, because you disobeyed, because of their disobedience, everybody over the age of 20, their bones will bleach in the wilderness. Let me tell you something, folks. Listen, because of 10 spies, 10 men with no vision, a whole generation perished in the wilderness. Now, let's get down to the serious side of it. If you lose your vision, how many people are you going to affect?
That's right, brother.
These 10 men had no idea the effect they would have had on a generation. But I'll tell you, I've decided, I've made up my mind, I'm going to go on for others.
Amen.
I'm going to go on, not for myself, I'm in good shape. But I'm going to go on for others. I've got friends, my friend Butch, good friend of mine, is not saved. I'm going on for Butch. I think this one is. Sanctified? Saved? Yeah. That's a little preacher joke there. But I'm going on for my friend Butch. And for a whole lot of people I know are still not saved yet. Are you with me tonight? Who's going to go with me? Who's going to say, yes, I'm going to have my vision fresh for other people? Very quickly, 5 ways to get your vision fresh. 5 ways to keep your vision fresh. Number 1, write it down. Remember Habakkuk 2 and 2?
Yep.
Write it down, make it plain, and run with it. Amen. Write it down, make it plain, and run with it. Why don't you just sit down some night and just write out a vision for your life, what you want to do? Never mind you want to be a fire engine driver, just be a soul winner, you know? Be something for God. Be something for God. I always wanted to sing. Do you know that? Since I was a little boy of 5 and 6 years old, somebody gave me a Davy Crockett hat. You know, back in Scotland, before I ever been to America, never just seen Davy Crockett on TV, somebody made me a Davy Crockett hat, and I would go up my small town. My town was about 10,000 people. And I would go up, and I had a good set of lungs, Mildred. And I would go up and say, Davy Crockett, king of the wild frontier. Born in the mountains of Tennessee, the greenest state in the land of... And they knew when the Cameron Kid was coming. Because I sang it all the time. Another one I used to sing is, hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Man, I'm getting old. I dates me a little bit there. But, you know, I love to sing. And I had a vision when I was young, I was going to sing for the Jesus. And I'm still doing it. What's your vision tonight? Write it down. I've maybe shared this story before, but Monty was in a little Midwestern town in a small school, and the teacher said one day, children, I want you to write down the vision for your life, and I'll grade you on it. And so Monty went home, and he wrote 7 pages of what he wanted to do with his life. He wanted to have a 10,000 square feet home. He wanted to have horses and cattle and a river running through the back of his home. And man, he crafted it, and he shaped it, and he took it up to the teacher. And a week later, he hands it to the teacher, proud as punch, and she took it. And at the end of the day, she gave all the reports back. And when he got his back, to his horror, the teacher gave him an F. And that wasn't for fantastic. I kept telling my second boy, I says, David, I says, F doesn't mean fantastic. F means you're failing. He's got him up from F's now. So he went up to the teacher. He said, teacher, he said, I put a lot of work into that essay. I really put a lot of work into that essay, and I thought about it, and I walked, why did you give me an F? And the teacher said, well, I'll tell you why I give you an F. Because it's unrealistic. Here we are in a poor Midwestern town, a small wooden school, and look at all the kids. We're sharecroppers, dirt poor, and you want to have a house with 10,000 square feet. Who do you know has a house with 10,000 square feet? For that matter, who do we know with a house? How many people do we know? I know a few people, but very few. But she says, I'll tell you what, Monty, because I know you put a lot of work into it, go back and rewrite it, and I'll regrade you. So he went back and showed his dad. His dad looked at it and said, yeah, teachers may be right, Monty. Maybe you're a bit unrealistic. Just sit down and write another one. So he sat down and began to write and couldn't get anything to come. Just writer's cramp, you know. Ever been like that? I love that, you know, when I'm getting ready to write a sermon and the Holy Spirit says, no. I'm going to do the talking today or tomorrow. Just, you can't get anything to come. So he interposes on your plans. I love it. Because he can speak far more eloquent than I can. So he took it back to the teacher a week later, hands it in, and she looks at it and says, Monty, that's the same one you gave me last week. He said, yes, miss, I made a decision. You keep your F. I'll keep my vision. You keep your F, I'll keep my vision. See, the teacher would have stolen his vision. Now the teacher meant his best. His father would have stolen his vision. Now his father loved him, but he would have stolen his vision. Don't let anybody steal your vision. Write it down. Number two, get out of the usual place.
Yeah.
Get out. Don't settle for the good. The good is the enemy of the best. Don't get out of the usual place. You know, I tell our people back in Virginia Beach, you know, where there's special services going on in town, go over to other churches and have a look and go there. Cross-pollinate. Because it broadens your mind. Some of us are so narrow-minded, we can look through a keyhole with both eyes. I got that one from Roddy Howard Brown. It's not original. But you know, it broadens our mind. Go out there and see different things. Because I'll tell you guys, if you're afraid of your people going to other places, not coming back, then you're a poor pastor. We've got full confidence in why people leave the church. They'll come back to the church they belong to because God has them there. Those that are for you cannot leave you. Those that are not for you must leave you. So don't hang on to people you don't need. Hang on to people that God has for you. Because if you've got the right people, more will come. Get out of the usual place. Remember back to John 21. I'm going fishing. They go fishing. And Jesus turns up. Hey, guys, how you doing? Well, nothing much. Nothing, honey. He said, we've toiled all night. We've caught nothing. Jesus, you know what Jesus said to them? Put your nets down on the other side. Get out of the usual place. Put them on the other side. And the Bible says there's so much fish. They couldn't contain it. The nets were breaking. You know, I used to be a fisherman, a commercial fisherman in the North Sea. And it was the greatest feeling. We used to catch like 100 and 150 ton of fish at one time with huge nets. And it was a great thing for us to, because we could only hold like 80 ton. And it was a great thing for us to catch so much fish, we had to call up some of the ships just fishing off maybe half a mile away and say, hey, listen, we've so much fish, do you want to come over? Because you felt like the big boys, you know, giving. The giving shall be given unto you, you know, just, you felt like the kings. We weren't the biggest boat in the fleet, but I'll tell you, when we gave away a fish, we felt like the biggest boat in the fleet. On the other side, get out the usual place. Number three. Well, keep on this one for a second. I just see something here. When Martin Luther got out of the usual place, all of Europe trembled. When Jonathan Edwards got out of the usual place, all of New England trembled. When John Knox got out of the usual place, all of Scotland trembled. Do you know when John Knox preached in Scotland in the 1500s, 90% of the Scottish nation was born again? They trembled. Because they get out of the usual place. And I'm telling you, this is a word to some of you folks here tonight. God wants you to get out of the usual place. Do something different. See God. Hear the voice of God. Expand your horizons. Don't be standing on the promises and sitting in the premises.
I like that.
Number three, expect God to move. Expect God to move.
Right, brother, I believe that.
Be determined about it. I think I told the other night, God's Holy Spirit said to me, you have to be just as determined to see your family saved as the devil is determined to have them. Well, be determined about it. Be determined about your vision. When you speak, be determined to see people getting saved, people getting delivered. Ask God to bring your vision to pass. Ask. James 4 says, you have not because you ask not. And when you do ask, you ask amiss. But ask. Ask. Expect God to move. We have a problem with expecting, do you know? We really have a problem expecting. Because we always tie things down to our realm of influence and our mindset. But how many lives, this is going to be a shock to you. How many lives God is far bigger than our mindset? Abraham Lincoln was a young poor boy in Illinois. And he worked for 3 days shucking corn to buy an old used book of the life of Washington. And he's sitting in a class one day and he's reading this book. And Mrs. Crawford, the teacher, came along and said, Abe, what are you doing? He says, I'm reading this book, The Life of Washington, because I'm going to be the president someday. And she laughed at him and said, huh, you would make a good president with your hallucinations. But the truth is, he became president. He expected it. He became president, and he became president, may I add, on one of the most difficult times in the nation's history. And he pulled it off. After 13 failures, he expected it. Expect God to move. Write it down. Get out the usual place. Expect God to move. Number four, fellowship with visionaries. Fellowship with visionaries. Follow successful men. The last two Julys I've been in Australia, in Hillsong, preaching in Hillsong in Australia, and rubbing shoulders with Tommy Burnett and Brian Houston and all these, Rick Godwin, all these great men and women, and Kathy Lesher, great men and women of God. And, you know, I sit and rub shoulders with them. I'm like a sponge. I'm just sucking at this and sucking at that because, you know, they say bad attitudes rub off. But so does good ones. And if you're going to fall, get fellowship with visionaries. If you stop among the crows, you can't fly with eagles. Get out the usual place. Get amongst people that have vision. Don't talk to people that are complaining and moaning all the time. I hate moaning people. I can't stand them more than 5 minutes. But you get me amongst people that have been vision and know what they're doing and know where they're going, man. I'm right there. I'm with you. Hallelujah. I love people with vision. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so man sharpens man. We need to get together. And number five, and finally, talk about your vision. Talk about it. Bring it to life. Martin Luther King, I've had a dream. He preached it. He talked about it. He didn't live to see it, but we've lived to see it come to pass.
Yeah.
But he talked about it. He brought it to life. In 1965, my father meets Glenn in London, and the Full Gospel Businessman. The Holy Spirit said, my father, you're going to be in America next year. He told his brothers. His brothers laughed. They had a big construction company, a big furniture store. His brother said, we couldn't be in America next year. We couldn't even sell the business and close the books in a year. A year to the date, they landed in New York City. But Dad had a vision. And he spoke about it. And you know the rest of the story. We're still here, 33 years later. Still here. We're going stronger than ever before. Write it down. Talk about it. Share it with other people. Cultivate it. Make it focused. With this, there's one thing that will stop your vision. In England at the turn of the century, there was a disease called dirty heart disease. Dirty heart disease. And this disease would put ulcers around your aorta, the main valve in your heart, and it would ulcerate it, and because of that, your vision, you'd lose your vision and become blind. You'd lose your vision and become blind. There was one thing that will cause you to lose your vision, Mildred. It's dirty heart disease. Dirty heart disease. What does the Bible say in Proverbs? Guard your heart. For out of it, not your mouth, out of it flows the issues of life. Dirty heart disease. And I trust tonight none of us have a dirty heart disease. If we have vision and passion, we won't have to worry about discipline and commitment. If we have vision and passion, we won't have to worry about discipline and commitment. God is good, isn't he?
Yeah.
And he went to his usual place. Get out of the usual place. Everybody stand. Close your eyes, eyes closed. Now, contrary to Wade this morning, I do believe in altar calls, so it's too bad. He's not here, so he can't defend himself. But I do believe in altar calls. I believe when we minister with the gospel, we should give people a chance to receive Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight, you've never given your heart to Jesus. That's the first step in the vision for your life. Because without Jesus, you've no hope of a vision. Oh, you may have dreams, but I'll tell you, without Jesus, you'll never fulfill your dreams. If you're here tonight and you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, young person, old person, while every head is bowed and every eye closed, slip your hand up right now and say, Robert, I want to give my life to Jesus. Slip it right up so I can see it. Right up. Quickly. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to give my life to Jesus. Everybody saved? Come on. If you're not sure tonight, if you're not sure that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and you're going to say, Robert, I'm not sure, slip that hand up right now. Young person, old person. Everybody's saved. If you're here tonight, say, Robert, I am saved, but I want my vision tuned. I want my vision freshened. Just you've preached to me tonight. Let me see that hand. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. I'll tell you, folks, God is in the vision business. I know God sent me the, if ever God sent me the word to Lake Hamilton, it's this word tonight. It's time to freshen our vision. It's time to tweak our vision. It's time to tune our vision. Sometimes we have division, we have vision here, vision there, but we only have to have one vision. Everybody, let's join hands together right across the auditorium. In the name of Jesus. This is what we're going to do tonight. I believe every one of us is a point of contact. And I believe in impartation. And I'm going to just hold hands with Dave here and we're going to impart. Now just make sure everybody's touching all around the hall. If there's somebody at the end of your row, just join hands with them. I believe in impartation. And I believe the Holy Spirit wants to impart vision to people here tonight. Some of you have never had much of a vision. But I believe the Holy Spirit wants to impart fresh vision is going to blow your mind and change your life. For the good, I mean. For the good. Because after all, God wants to blow our mind. So with His mind, become our mind. Amen? Let this mind be in you. What mind? The mind of Christ. So He wants to blow our mind so we can get His mind and we get our mind out of the way and say, hey, Lord, Your will and not my will. In Jesus' name, are you ready? Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray, impart, Holy Spirit, impart, Lord. From the youngest to the oldest, all through this auditorium tonight, fresh vision, fresh vision, fresh vision. Lord, because a vision that is healing, because a vision that is salvation, because a vision that is hope, because a vision that is deliverance. And Father, I just ask you to impart in the name of Jesus to every soul here tonight. Lord, forgive us for being so apathetic. Forgive us, Lord, for going to the usual place and lying down in the usual place where there's things to do and there's wonderful things to accomplish for you. Forgive us, Lord, for being lackadaisical. Forgive us, Lord, for the apathy that we show sometimes. And Father, help us to be on the cutting edge of what you're saying and doing in your church today in your kingdom. Father, bless them. Bless every one of these folks here tonight. And Lord, as we go out of this place, let us say it was good to be in the house of the Lord. In Jesus' name. And everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. Let's just pray for a few seconds. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You and your wife here. You've been wondering, why are you here this weekend? The Holy Spirit just said to me, He's here to give you a fresh vision. And you've been thinking, I don't know why we're here, but I'll tell you why you're here. You're here because God wanted you here. Because He wants you to get fresh vision, stronger vision than ever before. And God is going to use you in a supernatural way that you've never seen before, but you're going to know it. It's going to be quicker than here first. You're going to feel it. There's something moving on. There's something moving even now. And you're going to say, there's something that I can't explain it, but it's fresh vision. It's fresh anointing for a new day. Hallelujah. 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 God's going to give you what's your name?
Cheryl.
God's going to give you a focused vision. Not just a general vision, but God is about to focus your vision and just let you see something really specific you're going to pray for. Maybe he's done it already, I don't know, but God is definitely focusing your vision and honing it in to a specific thing or person or area, and you're going to see it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Fellow from Texas, Kendrick. You're better led than you know it. God's telling me to tell you that. You're better led than you know it. You're something's wondering, where am I going to go next? And the Holy Spirit is telling me to tell you, you put one foot forward and I'll show you the next one. Hallelujah. But I'm not going to show you until you put your foot forward. That's faith. Once you put your foot forward, I'll show you the next step. And then once you put that, I'll show you the next step. But don't worry. I'm there. He's in control and he's teaching. He's leading you. Hallelujah. Thank God for the direction of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Pruka baba ba shandra kaba siti. Rondo ro pro solo pro din borosta ba hasu prono gayende. Randa gaba baba situlo borbostone dili abbastanza. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Rike pro sondo corvo shanda kabasiti. Rindili praba sondro coro ba shandra kababasanta. Rindili troco sonda rabahondo kabasiti. Ronnie. The Holy, I just seen the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, you've been swimming in shallow water. It's been good. But I just see the Holy Spirit saying you're going into deep water.
Come on.
Deeper water than ever before, but that's okay. He'll keep you up. He'll swim in it. Places you've never been, bigger church than you've ever been before. It's deep water, but it's Holy Ghost water. Hallelujah. And you're going to float in it. Because he's going to hold you up. He's going to keep you buoyant. And you're going to go for it, and you're going to be amazed.
Come on.
Hallelujah. Mildred, it's not the end, it's the beginning. Hallelujah. It's a new leaf in the page. I'm going to tell you, God's going to use you mightier than ever before. He's going to anoint you like with a special anointing. He's going to put you in a place you've never been before. And he's going to even going to expand the place where you've been. Not to the same old to the usual, but he's going to put you in an unusual place. He's going to put you in an unusual place. Hallelujah. Kura masun turo bashanda. Rikabaron robosoturi etrabasatiki. Rababababashundo kobosote. Brooch, I see the Holy Spirit taking you down a highway. And all of a sudden, you're doing a 90-degree turn. I don't know what it is, but you're doing a 90-degree turn. And you say, what am I doing down here? It's the Holy Ghost. So don't be afraid of the Holy Ghost 90-degree turns. Yeah, I don't know I've never met you this week, but I just know you've been going one way, and the Holy Spirit's about to turn you around and say, you're going to go this way. And it's going to be a good way. It's going to be a highway, not a byway. It's going to be a highway, and it's going to be a blessed way, and it's going to be a prosperous way, and you're going to see things you've never seen before. You have seen them, you've dreamt about them, and you've had vision. I shouldn't say dreamt. You've had vision, you have dreamt about them, you have had vision, and you're going to see it come to pass. But it's the moving of the Holy Spirit. It's going to be strange at first. You're going to say, what am I doing here? You're there because God wants you to be there. Hallelujah! Ora baba santa kabasuti. How's your vision tonight? What do you see? What do you see? What do you see? God bless every one of you. Amen. Glenn.
Whew, hallelujah. 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, 6 o'clock in the morning. See you there.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.